Thank you, Arlen. Good morning again and welcome. Wow, what a beautiful fall day. If it was like this every day, we wouldn't appreciate it, though. Please register your attendance for on the registration sheets in the pews. Pass the sheets to others in your row, and be sure to return the sheets to the center aisle and note who's sitting next to you. Look through the calendar of events on your bulletin. Some things to note are the church office hours are going to change. They'll resume this week for the fall office hours. Open Monday through Thursday, 10:30 to 2:30, and Fridays, 8:30 to noon. Cynthia's will be taking Tuesdays off starting this Tuesday. Also be closed Monday for Labor Day, but it's open on Friday this week, so we still get lots of service. The nominating committee is asking for prayers for individuals who God will call to serve in various leaderships and servant roles in the church. Think about what you would like to do for the church this next year. Nominating forms will be in the Sunday bulletin next week. Deadline to submit nominations to the church office is the 24th of September, so be thinking. Please make sure you don't nominate an elder or diaconate who are finishing up their three-year terms as they're not eligible to be nominated. September 9th will be fall kickoff here at the church. We'll resume communion with passing the trays, Sunday school, and we'll have a hot dog bratwurst potluck after the worship, sponsored by the Spiritual Growth Commission. Everyone's invited to bring a dish or dessert to share, and hot dogs and brats will be served from the kitchen. The preschool will host an open house on Tuesday, about at 11 a.m. School will start on Wednesday, the 5th. Looking forward to hearing the voices from downstairs. Church members are welcome to stop by during the open house and meet the staff and see they've got their classes all ready for those little kids. Circle of Caring will not meet tomorrow due to Labor Day holiday, but they'll meet next Monday at 2 in the inner room. A big thank you to everyone who's volunteered to help with Fall Feast. If you don't have a specific assignment yet, consider where you'd like to help and get a hold of someone. Carol is in charge of the meals. If you want to help with the property stuff, get a hold of Dewey Smith, the bookstore, Janie Nelson. If you want to help with the children's programs, get with Jennifer Grooms. If you want to help with communion and offering, get with Tammy Heck. If you want to help with the sound or the AV team, get with Rick Black. Anything else and registration, get a hold of Cynthia. And if you want to help, there will be a place for you. At St. Mark's next Saturday, 4 to 7 p.m., there will be a party in honor of Wayne and Donna McIntyre. Everyone's welcome. I think Bob is going to be, you're going to be playing at that. And some Dixieland jazz stuff. Very nice. Also, there's a picture missing from downstairs, a modern Last Supper of Jesus feeding the hungry. If anyone knows where that's at or maybe what's happened to it, let us know. Other announcements? Yes, Paul. Very nice. Well, happy birthday. Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Chuck. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. Well, let's all stand now and greet everyone around you. Then we'll continue our worship by singing on page number 56, For the Beauty of the Earth. I forgot to highlight something in the bulletin. The pumpkin patch. Don't tell Mike Ward I forgot that. I would get it to generate a phone call at least. But the pumpkin patch will be here in about 30 days. Still need some volunteers. Please make sure that you consider whether you can help or not, and try to be involved. We need to keep the pumpkin patch going for the church. So, and we do need help. Please join me in the call to worship. God be praised for the wondrous cross, the tree of life, which bears down upon itself the scars and wounds of the world. God be praised for the cross, which guides the lost, feeds the hungry, and shelters the poor.
Inspires the anxious, illuminates the wise, challenges the fearless.
Saves the condemned, and meets the need of every age and every land.
God be praised for the wondrous cross, the tree of life.
Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, may you mold us and use us so that we may be reformed in such a way that our lives will never be the same. Infuse a sense of mystery that keeps us wanting more. Fill this room with your presence, we ask, in your name. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Please turn to number 548. As our hymn of prayer, we will sing the first verse of The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
invite the children to come forward for a time of children sharing this morning. Good morning. It is so nice to see all of you here this week. Have you had a good summer? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Are you starting to get excited about school? Mm-hmm. Hi, Mackenzie. Why are you scared?
Because I'm afraid to meet new people.
You're a little scared about school and meeting new people? You're going to a brand new school. Is it here in Casper?
Yes.
Yeah. Fort Casper Academy, a different place you haven't been before.
And we can walk there and walk
home. That'll be nice to be able to walk to school. You know, my guess is every person here, even the grown-ups, at some time in their life, my guess is they have been scared to meet somebody new. If anyone here has ever been a little bit afraid to meet somebody new or be someplace where you don't know everybody, would you raise your hands? Look at that. The whole church knows how that feels. So we will be praying for you all this week as you go to a new school, and we'll pray that you meet lots of new friends and that the scariness doesn't last long. Your teacher's really nice. That's good. This past week, I was at Ring Lake Ranch, and I met some new people that I hadn't met before. And it was a beautiful place up in the Wind River Mountains outside of Du Bois. I got to ride horses one day. I got to canoe on a lake one day. And I got to learn from a really smart Bible professor. And I met some new friends. It was fun. But I'm sure, you know, it could be a little bit scary, too, when you meet new people. At Ring Lake, there are lots and lots of trees. There are some short, stubby trees, and there are some really tall trees. I was wondering this morning if you all would help me pantomime a forest. Can you help me act like we're trees? Let's stand up, and we're going to pretend that we're trees. Can anyone show me what a tree looks like? Can you be a tree? So sometimes branches go out, sometimes they go up. Look, here we've got a couple future yoga instructors in our group. Some trees put their roots down solid, and some have very light roots, like you girls. There are trees that come in all different shapes and sizes. At Ring Lake, there are ponderosa pines that are really, really tall. Can you be a ponderosa? Be as tall as you possibly can and really strong. And then there are also some short, scrubby junipers. Can you kind of be a short tree? And they have lots of berries on them that the birds come and eat. And they are all beautiful. In one of our scriptures today, we're going to hear about the tree of life and how God gives us a tree to keep us alive. We are kind of like we're part of a tree. We're sort of like branches because we're connected to each other. Can we connect our branches all the way across our row of children this morning, even with Hadley? God connects us like branches connected to a vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. So when we're connected with one another and we pray together, we're connected to Jesus. Would you all pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the vine and calling us to be the branches, to be connected to you and to one another. Bless our children as they go to school for the first time in a new place this week. Bless everyone who may have challenges this week facing new adventures. Give us courage, Lord. And in your precious name, all God's children said, amen. We don't have children's church today, so you can go sit with your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, and we'll just stay in worship this morning. Bye, Hadley. Thanks for bringing Grandpa up. The daughter of the CPA is checking out the offering plate of the Friend of the Sanctuary. We had a pre-offering audit, so please make sure you give generously today. Mackenzie will check the offering after the service to make sure it has grown. Our list of prayer concerns is on the back of the bulletin. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for anyone that you miss seeing in church. There may be someone that is usually in worship with you who's been out of town a lot this summer. Write them a card. Let them know you have missed them. There may be someone who's gone for Labor Day Sunday. Remind them to come back next week for our fall kickoff. Our fall programming really gears up this coming week. Preschool starts, choir starts on Wednesday. Amber encourages anyone who would like to sing to come Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for choir rehearsal. They'll be here in the sanctuary from 7 to 8:30. And then next Sunday, the Home Builders class meets and all of our full children's programming resumes. So please be praying for the church as we move into a busy season. We offer prayers of sympathy for Cheryl Dion, who is our nursery care worker, also one of our preschool staff. Her sister-in-law, Samantha DeHoff, passed away unexpectedly. Prayers for their family. Wanda Leeling continues at Life Care. Prayers for her. And I would encourage folks to make visits if you're comfortable doing so. We continue to pray for Amber French. She is improving, but she says she's still having a hard time sleeping at night. So prayers that she will be well rested and fully recovered soon. We pray for Billy Triplett, for Bob Hooker, and for others who are living with cancer. Rita's daughter, Frankie, is up on the mountain this morning enjoying some time out of doors. Her health continues to decline. Prayers of peace for that family as they cherish their time together. Our regional prayer partners are the members of Central Christian Church in Denver, Colorado, and their pastor, Caleb. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you'd like to sign and send greetings. And this morning, we're praying for Scott Cooper, who is a missionary in Africa. And we continue to pray for those who are fighting wildfires, forest fires across Wyoming and the West, and communities affected by natural disasters. Are there other concerns today, other names we want to share, situations we want to lift up? Congratulations to Maggie and her family, to her sister Mary, on the birth of a new baby. That is wonderful. So they live up around Gillette, right? So the family is expanding here in Wyoming. A joy to have a new baby. Carmen. Prayers for Carmen's sister, Julie, who's having a kidney removed. Dennis. Prayers of patience for Lois Purvis as her recovery continues. Let us bring all of these prayers to the Lord, as well as the thoughts in our own hearts, in a time of shared silence. O great Creator God, we praise you for the beauty of the earth and the glory of the skies. We give thanks for the gift of human love, for your love, which over and around us lies. Holy Healer, today we continue to lift to you prayers for those who are struggling, who are in seasons of recovery, who need healing and strength. Lord, we ask for your healing hand to be upon Wanda and Amber, Frankie and Lois. We pray for those who are struggling with cancer and undergoing treatments, including Bob Hooker. And Lord, we ask you to be with Billy Triplett as his journey draws him ever closer to heaven. We pray for peace for Cheryl and her family as they recover from the shock and mourn the loss of Samantha's death. Holy One, in every season, you watch over us. In times of death and times of birth, your Spirit is near. We rejoice this day, O God, along with Maggie, at the arrival of a new baby and her family, and we pray your blessing upon this little one and her parents. Lord, we join with Carmen in praying for healing and strength for her sister, Julie. May your blessing be upon Scott Cooper and the work he does as a missionary in South Africa, and be with Pastor Caleb and the members of Central Christian Church in Denver. We pray for those, O Lord, who care for your world in myriad ways. From hotshot crews battling blazes in the West, to emergency first responders showing up when they are needed most, to parents and teachers who guide young lives in learning. O Lord, on this Labor Day weekend, even as we give thanks for the gift of rest on this Sabbath day, we also give thanks for the gift of work. And we pray that all of our labors may bear fruit for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the gifts of being on retreat at Ring Lake Ranch is the gift of community. This past week, Joan and Bob McNamara and I were there with other folks from across the country. There were Baptists and Episcopalians, Lutherans and disciples, those who are journeying without a label to their faith but seeking God's presence in the world. There were people from Canada and Georgia, as well as Wyoming, Kansas City, and places in between. One of the routines of life at Ring Lake Ranch is shared meal time. Every day, three times a day, wonderful, healthy food is prepared, and everyone who is there on retreat gathers in the dining hall. It doesn't matter if you've been off riding horses or hiking, fishing or canoeing, or writing and studying in your cabin. You come together and sit around table. The dining hall has a beautiful view out over Trail Lake and majestic mountain peaks beyond. Last Sunday, as we gathered for the first meal for dinner Sunday evening, the wind was blowing, and it was dusty and hazy and smoky. A storm front went through, and by the time we awakened on Monday morning, snow had dusted those high peaks, and the air was clear. For the rest of the week, the view at that dining hall window shone across studded rocks, strong, trees reaching the sky and shimmering like waters. Birds came in abundance to feed at feeders, and chipmunks feasted on their droppings of extra seeds. The view was glorious, and the companionship around the table was deepened by conversation. People discussing the evening presenter and theological questions, people talking about how they'd spent their day, and people just sharing in conversation one-on-one, face-to-face with each other. Every Sunday, when we come to the Lord's table, there is a different yet also majestic view in front of us. For as we look at this table, we see the cross of Christ. And it is as if Jesus stands in our midst, reaching his arms out to invite us to come face to face and converse with him. Whether your conversation with Christ today is deep and theological, or you're just sharing what's happening in your daily life, you are welcome to dine with Jesus at this place. This will be our last Sunday for our summer pattern of sharing communion by intinction. You're invited to come forward by the center aisle, take the bread and dip it in the cup, then return to your pew by the side aisle. Bring your offerings and prayer cards as you come. If you prefer to remain seated, a tray will be brought to you where you are, and you can place your offerings on the table at the back of the sanctuary as you leave. All who believe in Jesus are welcome to share in this meal. Whether you're a member here or visiting for the first time, you are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper. We'll prepare for communion together by singing number 222, a song of hope and resurrection. Christ is risen, shout Hosanna.
A loaf of bread, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Lord, of everything that we are have been, and ever hope to be. We give thanks for your love, which provides our daily bread. An even greater evidence of your love is represented in the bread of the communion table. We thank you, O God, for Jesus and his sacrificial love. May your Spirit dwell within us as we commit ourselves to serving your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
We give thanks, O Lord, for the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen. Please enjoy some special music offered by Bob Malloy and Josh Nicholson.
I Love Thee and Ash Grove.
Thank you. Our scripture for today, our first reading is from Revelations 22, 1 through 5, located in your pew Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Our second reading today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed, pruned, by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our thanks to Josh and Bob for that beautiful music today. What a wonderful gift that was. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to abide in you, to be as intimately connected to you as branches are to a vine. Bless now the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the labor of our lives, that all may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I bring you greetings from the community that gathered at Ring Lake Ranch this past week. Our keynote speaker was the Reverend Dr. Barbara Rossing, who teaches at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. When I signed up for the seminar, I saw that her topic was the tree of life. And as an amateur artist, I was intrigued by that imagery. I guess I should have read the Cliff Notes a little more closely, because what I was in for was a week-long deep dive into the book of Revelation. It was an interesting seminar and a wonderful gift of community. Next summer in July, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in the United States and Canada will gather in Des Moines, Iowa for our General Assembly. And the theme is Abide in Me, that comes from John 15. A few years ago, the theme for General Assembly came from the Revelation text of the Tree of Life, focusing on leaves of healing for the nations. I found myself intrigued by the possibility of juxtaposing these two images with each other. Throughout the week, in listening to Barbara talk, I found myself hearing again layer upon layer upon layer of stories from Scripture. You see, we don't just read one verse or one text in isolation. But when we study God's word, different parts of the Bible inform each passage we read. And so when we layer readings on top of one another, we get deeper insights. Just like when we come to Scripture with the layers of the years of our lives between ourselves and that text, a word you may have read years ago speaks to you in a new way because of the layers of living you have experienced in the meantime. The image of the tree of life shows up first in Genesis, in the very beginning, in that wonderful story of the garden, of a place of paradise, of beauty and peace. God plants the tree of life and the tree of knowledge at the very center of the existence of human life. You know how the story unfolds. People sin. We turn away from God and we're lost from that garden of paradise. Yet Scripture promises us that God's gift of life continues to be planted in the center of humanity, in the heart of creation, in a place where God's people are called to live in community. In Revelation, we hear this image of the tree of life being built upon and expanded in the vision shared by John of Patmos when he was imprisoned. He wrote a very complicated text in cryptic language to protest against the oppressions of the Roman Empire. Today, when we turn and read Revelation, sometimes we're tempted to think that because it is a vision, it is prophecy, we're tempted to think, well, that means it's trying to predict the future. But there is a different approach for understanding biblical narrative of prophecy. Drawing on the Old Testament prophets, there is a tradition of understanding prophetic words in Scripture as a call to God's people to change, to live differently in the here and now. The word prophecy itself means an unveiling of God's presence, a revealing of God's will. So in the book of Revelation, John is revealing God's will in the midst of the Roman Empire, a time of great oppression, a time that was hard for humanity and creation alike. John and Bob and I learned a lot about the Roman Empire this week listening to Barbara Rossi. One of the slogans, if you will, the billboard standard of the Roman Empire was Empire forever, Rome forever. There truly was this vision that Rome would overtake the whole world and last to the end of time. It's in that context that John offers an alternative vision. He's saying not Rome forever, but life with God forever. His writing to us in the book of Revelation offers two paths we can choose. One, to remain subject to the principalities and powers of this world. One, to be co-opted by empire. One, to be consumed by economic power and to think that the words we hear from politicians hold ultimate truth. There's an alternative path given. One that is contrary to empire and economy. One that focuses on the presence of God, one that calls us to abide in a place where the tree of life is again planted at our very center, at our very core. Barbara unraveled for us some of the mystery of part of the vision of Revelation. I felt like I was back in seminary for a week and knew I should be taking furious notes. But when she got to this image of the tree of life, my heart felt hope. She explained that John's writing invites us to see heaven as not some distant, far-off place that we only get to go to after we die. But John's vision of the tree of life reminds us that God, God of heaven, God of all creation, God the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God chooses to dwell with us. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth is planted around the very presence of God. This image of the tree of life and the flowing river of life draws strongly on Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel, an Old Testament prophet, had a vision in which the waters of life flowed from the temple itself. And as the waters were measured, they got deeper and deeper, first ankle and then knee and then waist deep. And then the torrent of life was flowing so fast and furious that poor little Ezekiel couldn't possibly walk across it. Along that river of life, Ezekiel saw trees bearing fruit in every season. John draws on that Old Testament image and plants it in the understanding of the early church living in a time of Roman oppression. The Romans, in order to conquer the world, plowed over everything in their way. They cut down trees and burned cities. They took slaves captive, and they got the richer for it. The Roman Empire was driven by an economy of injustice, where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Perhaps in our modern world, there are some brothers and sisters in Christ who know what that feels like. Perhaps in our time, there are political powers in the world that seem to function as a new Rome, who claim that their country will be great and will last forever and will be better than any other country on earth. I don't know if it's a claim you've ever heard. In our day, we're apt to think of rivers as dividing, separating cultures and countries, one people from another. A few of you have asked me this morning about our friend Carmen, who occasionally makes tamales. And we buy tamales from her as a means of supporting her family. She's supported in part by the Immigration Alliance of Casper, a nonprofit consortium. I've been praying for Carmen because I haven't heard from her since a few weeks ago. She said, "I'm going to make tamales," and we got a text saying, "The tamales burned. Sorry, I'll be there next week." Well, next week, we didn't see Carmen. And we didn't see the tamales. I know a couple of you might be worried about where your tamales are and when they're coming. You've got your money in your pocket. You're ready to pray for them. But I encourage you also to be worried about Carmen, a single mom who is in the process of gaining legal status to stay and work in our country. I don't know where she is. I don't know how her story will unfold. I can't help but think of the Rio Grande River, which flows in my homeland of New Mexico, and for part of its journey separates the United States and Mexico, not just as geography, but also as point of political tension, point of separation of empire. In some ways, if you'll allow me, between haves and have-nots. In some ways, the Rio Grande can become a symbol of economic division between those who are able to live and work for a just wage, who can labor and rejoice on Labor Day to have a holiday, and those who only wish they could work, who wish that they could work and earn money for their families. And so there is tension across this river. And it's a complex issue. I'm not planning on preaching a solution for an immigration crisis. But I do want to raise our awareness of the fact that even now, we live in a world where economic tension vies for more of our attention and energy than the Word of God. Political strife consumes our energy, sometimes more than time spent in prayer. Perhaps Christians in America in 2018 aren't all that far away from Rome after all. And if that's the case, then maybe Revelation and the vision of the Tree of Life has something to say to us. A vision of God promising that life will flow in abundance with enough for all, that a tree will grow on both sides of the river, so that in God's realm there's not a dividing line, but an awareness of humanity, of all of God's children, with skin that's light or dark, with language that may be English or maybe not. In God's realm, the tree is so big that the dividing lines we draw cease to exist. They're washed away by the flood of life, and that tree of life grows on both sides of the river, with fruit in every season. In my journal towards the end of the week, I was trying to do a little sketch in colored pencil, just playing with this image of the tree of life. And I found myself drawing a tree with a river running right through it. Reminds you of an old movie title, I guess. And then I started putting fruit on that tree. I attempted to draw a few apricots. You see, the first fruit tree I ever met was an apricot tree in my parents' backyard. My older brother David, when he was little, he couldn't say apricot, he said cot-cot. And so when our family moved from Desert Eve Drive to 16th Street, David insisted that we plant another cot-cot tree. So I grew up climbing the apricot tree and picking its fresh fruit. There was an old crabapple in the backyard that bloomed beautifully, but when it died, we replaced it with a cherry tree because the fruit is so much better. Sweet and juicy, ready for pies. On my childlike sketch in my journal, I drew cherries, thinking of the cherry tree in my parents' backyard, apples, thinking of my mother making applesauce, pears, thinking of the yard outside of our church building, the playground where our children run and play. If you were to draw a tree with fruit for every season of your life, what fruit would you choose to represent abundance and joy and sweetness and God's love and presence for you? Maybe they'd be oranges or kumquats, I don't know. Maybe you'd be creative and have a watermelon tree or a tomato tree. Revelation promises us that God's love is so incredibly abundant that in every season of life, there is fruit and there is healing for the nations, for all of God's people. There is healing even for the systems of economic oppression that tried to divide us one from another. It's interesting to me to try to take that image of the tree of life and layer it with John's gospel teaching, Jesus' words saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches." What if God is calling us to be grafted on like branches of the tree of life, where the very presence of God is rooted so deeply in us that the Lord's love flows through our labors? What if God's call through Christ is for us to live in such intimacy, such connectedness, like branches on a vine, that there is no economic or political power in the world that would separate us from one and another? That we might be able to actually sit at table together, Democrat and Republican and Libertarian and Independent and non-registered voter, and have a conversation about what it means to live together in one community. What if God's love is so present and so deep in our lives that instead of thinking I've got all the right answers or you've got all the right answers or he's got all the right answers, together we listen and discover we've been asking the wrong questions anyway? What if this vision of Jesus the vine and the tree of life connected calls us to live in constant abiding in the presence of God? so that we come to understand on Labor Day weekend that our most important labor as followers of Christ is to abide in the presence of God. So that every day, not just on Sunday morning, but every day we work for the Lord. So when we go to work in an office or on a ranch, in a classroom or a bank, in an oil field or a supermarket, wherever we go to work, we realize we're working not for a paycheck, part of which can pay taxes to a modern empire. We're working for God. And that every single person God calls to be in relationship with us, whether it's student or client or customer, office guest, that every single person we meet when we labor is sent to us from God, so that our very responding to them becomes a witness of the one in whose love we are rooted. What if on Labor Day weekend, all of the church universal, comes to realize that our labor, our most important job, is to abide with God. To abide in a place where we are so deeply rooted in the Lord's love that we're not afraid of a prophetic voice. Not a voice that tries to give all the answers, but a voice that asks questions. A voice that calls us to live as community within the world in which we're situated. Rooted in God's love. May we be so connected to the vine of Jesus Christ that our concern becomes about people more than politics, about God's love more than our own economic success. May we be so rooted in the very presence of the divine one that the tree of life surrounds us on both sides of our own internal divides. May we be rooted in God's love and connected by grace to one another, bearing fruit for the Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 638. In the bulb, there is a flower. If there is anyone here this morning who is looking for a church home, who seeks to know the river of life flowing through your own heart, we would invite you to come forward and place your trust in Jesus Christ. Please stand and sing together 638. remind you that we have a time of fellowship waiting for us. There's coffee downstairs and refreshments. And even though we come from different life perspectives, we're invited to share together in fellowship with one another in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ. I hope that you'll stay and converse with each other, share how your week has gone, where God is leading you to be connected and to abide in the week ahead. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we long to abide in you, to be connected to your love, so that your holy life, O God, flows through us and waters a thirsty world. In Jesus' name, amen.